Hi everyone, I'm Matt Arts. Welcome to a mini-series in partnership with the Royal Anthropological Institute of Great Britain and Ireland. This mini-series was created in anticipation of the upcoming Anthropology, AI, and the Future of Human Society virtual conference, which is being held from June 6th through the 10th of this year, 2022. So sit back and enjoy, and let's talk about the future. Hi, everyone. Welcome back for the next installment. I'm here today with Deborah Lanzeni of Monash University, who is an anthropologist working in the tech and design space with an interest in futures. And so we're speaking with Deborah today because she is a significant player in one of the main panels at the conference this year. The panel is titled AI and Interdisciplinary Futures Anthropology. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and probably about futures more broadly. But Deborah, would you start by just kind of telling us, you know, a little bit about your academic background, how you got involved, and just, you know, how this interest of tech design and futures came to be?
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me here. It's really good to have this space in the conference to share other ways to produce knowledge. I'm an anthropologist, as you said, with an interdisciplinary PhD, mainly in STS and internet studies. So I think technology came early in my career. I'm from Argentina, and I did the bachelor degree in Buenos Aires. And at the moment was like in a very classic program in political anthropology. And I was trying to, I was always interested in things that were connected with technology and future, but more in my life, reading science fiction, as most of us, but as well, like things were changing in the way we hear music and the way we produce video. Everything was changing when I was like in the university, and it was really like interesting how to address that more professionally. But at the moment, at least in my university, technology was super like a structured technology, studying like scientific doing or technological big making. And then that was, I wasn't interested in that, but I was interested in a building that was like the first smart building in the region in South America. So I asked my supervisors at the moment they were, because in Argentina we have in the degree, we have a dissertation to do. So I asked to do a dissertation about that building. And at the moment it was like, but what about the building? I mean, you need an anthropological problem with the building. But I didn't have that. So I started to study going to the building, what we do, right? To see what's going on there. And then it was a big company, an oil company, and the building was full of engineers. So I decided to study how engineers become engineers in a cutting edge world. So I think technology came with this idea of cutting edge for me, which is always linked to the future in some way. But then I moved forward and I was also interested in methodology and in epistemology of anthropology. So I was working in the market and doing some research in the university. And then for the PhD came this opportunity to study in this interdisciplinary world, in this program of interdisciplinary studies of technology. And then again, I was like trying to understand things that I didn't know what were, but just like living with technology that changed all the time. And then I coming back to what I knew, which is people working and discussing technologies. So at the moment when I was doing my PhD, Internet of Things, IoT, which is a specific technology that connects things through internet, was like a promise. was starting. And I said, and a few colleagues at the PhD program, they were working as engineers on that. So I decided to follow that emerging technology. I think I came into technology because futures, and not the otherwise what I was thought before this podcast, because I thought technology was always at the edge of something that was in the change, you know, like things were changing with entangled with technology. And then, yeah, it was kind of also a good space to come with a very classical formation training to themes that were not classic at all. yes, but again, I was in an interdisciplinary program, so I started to look through other disciplines, technology as well, to come back to anthropology and saying, okay, we have the tools to understand this in dialogue with other disciplines. So I think in my case, technology, the future of work and design were like a place where to research things that I was interested in. And I'm still interested in that, which is how we study this. I think what I'm interested in is how we anthropologists study the things, how we produce knowledge about we living with technology, we producing technology, beyond like silos like society, technology, culture. In that sense, I think also other lines that cross my work or my interests are like this processual approach and the emergence and imagination, the power to imagine things differently. We have like so many people working in imagination now in different ways, and I think it's great. But connecting imagination and I'm saying specifically imagination, no imaginaries or visions, how we creatively produce new or emerging thinking that is not necessarily connected what we have in front of us. It's again this idea of possibility that the future brings, what I think I'm interested.
So thanks for sharing that. So you said something in there that I thought was interesting. You said how you sort of came into technology through futures, which is interesting because, you know, as an anthropologist, or at least historically speaking, the anthropologists, you know, were not particularly focused on the future. And so how do you think you came to that perspective coming out of anthropology itself? You know, were you learning any of that in school, or did you really kind of just stumble into that aspect of anthropology?
You're totally right. There's so many. I mean, the thing with futures is anthropology, most of the time, understood it as part of that time or the time dimension and a cultural tool to deal with things. And we have amazing work on that. Fabian, Moon, Henrietta Moore, Ambitions, people that really did a great work around futures. But, and I have that. That was part of how we, in my university, we temporality was a thing. Understanding how we, time is one of our main themes. But when I talk about futures, I'm not necessarily linking to a time. What futures means for me is this capacity to think on something that is not yet done, something that could be done, something that is already here in how we imagine things, but not tangible in terms of how we can grasp it with our social scientist tools. I think it's this space that some for the contemporary anthropologists or anthropologists of the contemporaneity, they use Rabinow to talk about this open space. that could be a way also to talk of this emergence. Or we have Ingold also talking about how things emerge. And then we had this book in 2016 that with Sarah Pink and Lysander Debol about designing digital materialities. And one of the things we highlight in the book is future could be something that is materialized and is not materialized in a time different than we are. It's something that is happening constantly. In the sense future could overlap with contemporary, with the contemporary news moment. But it's, I think future is a possibility to think with people from anthropology. That's what I believe in future. But then that's just what, and I was trying to say, this is more like an epistemological sense of how we know. Future is, in my case, a tool for knowing. With the others. And actually the Future Anthropology Network that I co-convener with Karin Walter is what it is about. It's about the being there, intervening in what we study in terms of be present and participate in a more generative manner. And intervening, we know in anthropology, has a really dark history. So I think when we talk about intervening, hands-on means this, creating possibilities with the people we work with in the fieldwork and in other spaces. But this is one side of the future. The other side of the future, which is mainly how I start to look at this more seriously, is coming with cutting edge, but also is coming with my fieldwork. I have been doing fieldwork with techies, designing technologies, emerging technologies for 10 years now, more. And when I start to look at this technology that at the moment was IoT, but now the market mainly moved into artificial intelligence, future was there, totally alive. They were talking all the time about future of technology, but as well, future as a essential category to communicate between business side, technical side and the possible market. So future has this thing with technology that has been linked in so many different ways in the technological production, in the market, that is as well as a subject of a study. So for me, a future is so complicated to define. But what I have to say is, when I talk about future, I don't talk about a time to come. I talk about what this more processual emergent, and in that sense, is again connected with imagination. Is this process that we can be there? And I was reading the other day the Raver a piece of Bullshit Jobs from David Graeber. And when he talk about creativity, it's one thing, but when he do ethnography and trying to give a response to the ones that he's involved in ethnography, I have a colleague who is back in Argentina who is an expert in David Graeber, Julieta Castañeda, and she has been working with him along him many years, translating the books and everything. And in the comments in the Spanish edition of one of the book, I think it's could be Bullshit Jobs, but not sure. This idea of how we have to be to highlight the work of him in terms of how he tried to respond in the ethnographic process to what is going on there for the people who is working with, and that require being very imaginative. Because responses are never straightforward. And the way that we convey knowledge to be a part of what we are studying is never straightforward. In that sense, future is really connected with the ethnographic imagination, thinking with the one we are involved in the ethnographic research in the through our anthropological thinking, if that makes sense. So coming back to, I think futures and technology is a way to, it's a pair that could be more interesting if we think anthropologically through possibilities and the process of technology being made, instead of thinking about the technology in big categories like society or culture. I don't know if I'm making sense now, because it's so interesting for me, and not straightforward, that talking about it could go to many places.
So why don't you, though, maybe just elaborate on one thing that might be potentially confusing for anthropologists out there who potentially haven't worked in this space before. So, you know, it is the case that a lot of design methodology has come into this practice. And I guess the question I have is, how do we need to innovate in terms of, you know, anthropological thinking and methods? You know, is there something we need to be doing in our discipline? Of course, it's fine to take from other disciplines as well, and we should be sharing. But do we need to innovate in our space?
Yeah, we do. Actually, it's a book coming from the lab I'm involved with six female authors, Sarah Pink, Yolanda Stengers, Shanti Somartajo, Melissa Duque, Baike Horst, and myself, which is about design ethnography. And it's about design ethnography, the book, but as well as how we... It's a book that emerged from how we have been innovating methodologically to understand what we have in front of us. And I think we need, and this book is as well a way to approach design, but also this the process. Is this a way to think different in how we are involved methodologically, and doing a research project? What mean being there researching? Because what I have the feeling, when at least I can talk about design and technology, which is what I work mainly, the field I have is like methods or methodology start to be, and I think it's great, very open and able to be experimental and could be redone in many sense and still be part of a research proposal, for example. But how we do that, how we experiment in a way that we still are having a methodology that potentially is able to produce knowledge that we can share with our community, I think that is the way we need to innovate, how we keep a methodology that is communicating knowledge, producing knowledge, but still is something that we can share with the community and we understand and we approve as something that is making new knowledge and a good quality of knowledge. And I think we anthropologists most of us has been engaged with ethnography, and ethnography is a beautiful and amazing space to play and experiment and keeping a quality and having a good performance as method. In that sense, many other disciplines are taking ethnography for them to, or engage in ethnography, which is great in my opinion. But ethnography gives us this frame to do this. And which is the most interesting part, and when I think we need to come back to innovate, is because we have a super solid epistemological base. We have been reflecting on how we make knowledge with ethnography for 100 years now. And we know what we want, how we want to produce knowledge, how we ethically engage with others. And with that certainty, innovation is easy. But what I think now is we need to move forward a little bit forward to how we validate the knowledge production in epistemological terms. What means producing knowledge? And talking with Sarah Pink and other colleagues, we were like thinking that maybe what we need is an anthropology of knowledge to understand how we are understanding technology and futures. But I think we need to innovate in terms of methods, but we need also to imaginative think about, yeah, the rules, the epistemological rules that we want to engage again. I don't know if that makes sense, Math, but what I think is innovating methodologically is not separated of how we produce knowledge.
You know, in the discussion, you speak a lot about, of course, you know, possibilities, uncertainties. You're at the Emerging Technology Research Lab. So tell me a little bit, you know, what excites you?
Well, we have how long we can take. I really like researching on tech. And I like researching with others, and I like spending time with tech designers and trying to understand how they think and how they produce their own way to imagine what the technology they are designing will be related with humans and non-humans and the world. You know, this, I'm coming back to, I was thinking when you invite me to do this podcast, I was thinking how everything come back to change in anthropology in one sense, and not change in this unidimensional way, but how we have been around like trying to understand how things move forward and change in societies, in cultures, in human life. And I think even if you are at a contested change, I mean, even if you don't think change is a way to engage with transformation, but again, things in alive is what we are interested in. And what I think is really in these emerging technologies that we are studying, I studying around, what I think is very exciting is how we now are like trying to engage with the very process of making technology and to how it is there in many places at the same time, since the design to the commercialization to the use, or use is not the right word when you are in design anthropology, but the life with. And that is something that excites me, how we are trying in a comprehensive way. We are not engaging just with the, you know, with the topics of, and I think it's coming back to the panel that we are having in this conference, the idea of techno-solutionism versus like social justification of technology, you know, that not engaging just with these two like big holds and thinking, complicating the in-between, and not going with many certainties about what artificial intelligence will be for us, you know, like not engaging with this broadcasting, casting the future, instead like being involved in the way that it is produces and happening. That excites me because I'm seeing so many people working interestingly with really powerful visions of what's going on that can make us think differently. That is, and also because I try to, I think the power of anthropology or what I love from us, the ones that we do anthropology as way to trying to understand the world, is that we can live with complicated worlds. We can understand in the complicity. We don't, in the, in English, I, in the complic, complicated things. We don't need to reduce things to categories, easy digestible categories, and that in front of technology, in front of this powerful new tools that are coming or out there, is a huge difference. So I'm excited about anthropologists working in technologies, in emergent technologies, because I think we are just coming back to the what anthropology is for, to comprehend and to analyze, to have more possibilities to have a good life for humans, for society, for humanity. I think I'm talking very generalized, in a generalized way, but yeah, that is what excites me.
Yeah, no, thanks for sharing. I think I share an excitement that you have, but there are areas of our world in which there's still this sort of little bit of a debate between our theory, methods, style of knowing, and the knowledge, if you will, that machine learning and other such technologies can play a role in producing. And there's a little bit of a debate there, of course. In the work at Monash, are you also looking not just at emerging technologies as a field that we're contributing to, but are you also looking to really bring such technologies in to enable us?
I think it's a great question, because I think this division between technologies that will enhance or enable our practice is kind of not the way we approach. And I've realized now hearing you, the question I think is first, we need to engage with that question. And we need also to engage with other ways to produce knowledge that are based in technology, like talking, for example, about data or big data or machine learning or any other, automation is other thing. But I don't think it's on one hand how we produce, on another hand, how these technologies could potentially produce in essential different way. I think in our practice, in the practice of the lab, these two things converge, because it's how in what we studied, they are already converging. When I talk about these technologies, or let's talk about, you said machine learning, for example, because I work with people designing technologies, and then what they, and it's part of my ethnographic practice that has been for many years now. When you ask any tech designer, developer, or I don't know, anyone in the industry producing technology for things that already are there, like for brownfield, let's say, they always say or go to the same point as, we design technologies for questions that others pose. So I don't think it's about putting in question how technology could produce or how big data or data could produce knowledge, and which kind of knowledge, or how is engaged with that, but knowing that depending how we ask that technologies, that technologies will behave. So I think we try to understand how our practice could be related to this entities, technological entities, but not isolated, like an algorithm, and not how we engage in or how we start to put question to this technology that potentially could come in back to our practice and help us to produce better knowledge or different knowledge or new knowledge or actually, because I think one of our, and again, coming back to epistemology again, I think for us, the observing and practicing is something that is essential. So how we can not engage when we try to study in a way that we practice that. It doesn't mean that we don't need to have an ethical discussion And it should be always along with an ethical reflection about this. I'm sure about we need to be critical in this process more than ever, but not open us to this should it's not an anthropological way to think. You know what I mean? So I think in the lab we are interested in explore possibilities of blending learning with technologies in one sense. And I also think it will be great if we can partner the technologies in what we are interested in, on where are we going.
To connect this all to the panel, so you know, you're one of the organizers of this panel, along with Sarah Pink, who you've mentioned a number of times today.
Emma Quitley and Kerry Dahlgren as well.
Great, thank you. And so could you just share with us a little bit about that for anybody listening who, you know, who might want to join?
The panel will be great first, I have to say, because we have, it was really popular panel, and we will have people from different areas. People studying artificial intelligence, studying automation, people using artificial intelligence for studying, which I think, Mats, is what you raised just in the question before. And the panel is trying to converge all these ways to approach these technologies and from anthropology, but mainly is trying to think together how an anthropology approaching this technology should be, how we think together in from the practice of studying artificial intelligence automation, how we move forward anthropology for be more accurate and more up to the task of understand this. So in that sense, the panel will be discussing of us doing ethnography, ask the question that this technology is raising our fieldworks, but as well how we think collectively that anthropology should address these things. And the idea of the panel mainly is having a publication about it that could be the first stone for having an anthropology for. I don't like the anthropology of, even when we are a book that is from the Future Anthropology Network is coming now. It's just in the edition in the publishing house, which is an anthropology for technologies and futures. But let's say that this panel is trying to think an anthropology for or to, or I don't know which will be the connector of artificial intelligence and automation, but not a sub area, if not the other way around, how anthropology could embrace this, how we could be affected of these technologies as anthropologists and our discipline to be prepared of study this.
So I'm looking forward to joining that. I'm sure many other people are as well. I did see that there was plenty of papers that were submitted, during the process. So I'm sure it would be a very lively and spirited panel that produces a nice direction for the future. So, Deborah, obviously you yourself, as well as your colleagues at Monash, are producing quite a bit of knowledge these days. You have the forthcoming book on design ethnography research, but I'm sure there's other things in the works. So is there anything that maybe you'd like to just share with everybody that people should be looking for?
I think the lab is now getting out a few good pieces of work, in my opinion. One is design ethnography book. There is this, and an anthropology for technologies and future. But as well, the recent book is a special issue which I consider super interesting, which is methods for automation, for study automation. that it, I think it came out last week. And it's great because it's a start for this conversation and bringing other disciplines to our field as well. But thinking, how we, and as you said, Matt, how we innovate or no, the word is innovate, but we be more, how we are being more creative with methodology to address or to grasp the what's going on with automation and artificial intelligence. That is an interesting thing that came out, and yeah, that's what I have in mind now. But yeah, be attuned with us. We have plenty of social medias, Instagram, Twitter, because we are like, we are a few of us, we produce a lot. Not so few, we are like 20. It's enough. yeah, that's what I have in mind.
Yeah, I would echo you all produce quite a bit. It's certainly impressive to watch. So Deborah, thanks very much. Appreciate talking with you. And last thing, if anybody can't make the conference and they would like to, you know, learn a little bit more about you, is there anywhere where they can, you know, where they should find your work or get in touch, anything?
I mean, you can send me an email. Again, I'm Latin American, so you can't just send an email and I will answer. And yes, I'm on Instagram and on Twitter, like Digital Amazonian is my Twitter. And Instagram is my name, and this is mainly the two medias that I use, social media, but and in the usuals, you know, like academia and ResearchGate, but mainly I use like social media. But feel free to contact me. My email is all over internet, and I'm the kind of person that answer emails. So and actually, as we were discussing before the podcast, we are also opening to new approach to these topics, new approach, methodological approach, as well the Future Anthropology Network, which is co-organizing this conference. We are there to support people that want to think in this frame, think about technologies, futures, methods around artificial intelligence. We are trying to support anyone that is interested in this.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, and I will link to all those. So appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'd really enjoy it.
Thanks all for listening. For more information on the Anthropology, AI, and the Future of Human Society virtual conference, visit the Royal Anthropological Institute's website. I'm Matt Arts, and I hope to see you virtually at the conference.